In the multitude of words, there wanteth wisdom. And we trust that God shall give us wisdom this day, and not only this day, but every day that we walk in God. So we desire that wisdom of God. God knows what we need. He knows where we're at. He knows what we need to receive today. He's well aware of every one of us that are here in this meeting. There's none of us that he doesn't know our address. He knows our uprising and our downsetting. He's well acquainted with our ways. So we're not here to talk about our ways. We're here to talk about him. And what he wants to do in our lives and what he is doing, present tense, and what he's going to be doing very shortly. So we look forward today with great anticipation that God will break through every barrier.
Amen.
Amen.
In our hearts, in our spirits, that light might come forth in us who are bearers of light, children of light, yea, sons of light. That this light that we speak of may become brighter and brighter today than it was yesterday.
Yes.
That it consumes every bit of darkness that is still present in some of our lives, in our minds, and in our soul. Oh, I welcome the light of God today. I love the manifestation of his Spirit to us. And certainly, the word that he would bring to us that would feed us and quicken us as well. It's good to be here. After so long an absence, we're not dead. We're very much alive. We've been out in the desert, but I've been up in the mountain too. The desert hasn't been fun, but it's been hallelujah on the mountain. Aren't you glad God's bringing us up from the waste places? Oh, from that walking in the bondage of Adam, no longer shackled down by the chains that he would shackle us with, but my God, free, and free at last in him. Hallelujah. So may God penetrate. Yea, not just penetrate, but unfold and open our hearts this day, that his Spirit and the Spirit of his Word may find lodging and place in each one of us. We're not here to see what Campbell's got to say, I hope. We're not here to see some rabbits out of a hat. We're not looking for some magical, mystical thing. But we're looking unto him. Hallelujah. Let me read a few verses of Scripture. 2 Kings, 20th chapter, and just about the first three verses. 2 Kings, the 20th chapter. And this is the King James we're ministering from. 20th chapter, first verse. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. I've done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. We've read this so many times. It's a familiar portion of Scripture. But as I was reading it recently, and the Spirit of God began to quicken us, you know, there's something about the Word of God. There's no limitation to it. There's no place that we can say, this is the final word on that particular Scripture. But God continues to unveil to us more truth and more light and more life from that same Word. It's inexhaustible. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's never meant to be to us to say, well, now here's a fix for you. Here's a fix. We've had too many fixes. We've had too many patch up and go on our merry way. God's doing an eternal, complete, full work in each and one of us. Amen. And none of us are exempt from this. Amen. He's digging down deep inside of our soulish self. And we're feeling that probe. My God, it's not easy to die, is it, saints? It's more easy to rejoice, and it's more easier to sing and to rejoice than it is to die. I said, and you probably have heard, I guess you get my age and you repeat. But you know God repeats. Huh? Oh yes. We find so much of the New Testament is just a repeat of the old. A continual repeat and witness and confirmation. Oh, I thank God for the confirmation of His Word, saints. Hallelujah. And therefore, as I was looking over once again, if I sit down for a rest, it's okay. You're sitting down, so I guess I can do that. As I was going over these Scriptures again, God began to speak to us. And some questions came to me. I don't know if you're like I am, but I read the Word and I don't just read it anymore and say, oh, that's a nice word. That kind of fits into my theology. Fits into what I'm doing now or what I'm going to do or what I think I should do. No, it's life. It is absolute life, saints. It isn't something that we read like a novel, a book, or a magazine. And as I begin to read, and I noticed something, and I asked some questions. And in the very first verse, I believe it was, it says, now Hezekiah was sick unto death. He was dying. Some say it was cancer. Some say it was some other disease. I don't really know. That's not really important. The important thing is that he was dying. And as he was dying, he knew this. Saints, you know when you're dying. You don't need the undertaker come along and say, man, you're dying. You don't need a doctor, physician say, you're dying. You know that? You know you're dying. Yes. And I've been knowing I've been dying for a long time, and not in the natural, but in the spiritual. And this man was dying. He knew it was the end, and he was looking, I'm sure, for something hopeful. A word of prophecy would help right now. Say amen. Amen. So many of us, we get in trouble. And sometimes it's our own fault. We get in a mess and we want God to clean up the mess. You know? But we like a word to come through the prophets. Thus saith the Lord, you're grand, you're fine, you're wonderful. Zippity-doo-dah. And that's not always what God has for us. And so there, for he knew he was dying. He was aware of this. And I'm sure he didn't want to die. Nobody wants to die. I mean, unless you're me or somebody, but nobody really wants to die. And then you think the prophet would bring something encouraging to him. Something that would lift him up. Something that would encourage him and cause a surge of strength or life in him. It didn't work that way, did it? But Isaiah, the son of Amos, came with a strange word. He said, set your house in order. You're going to die. That's the last word in the world that this man wanted to hear. But I questioned this. I really question it, saints. Because I look back at the man. The 18th chapter. You can follow me if you want. 18th chapter, it says, second verse. But Hezekiah did that which was right in the sight of God. Even like his father, David. So he was pleasing to God. What he did was pleasing, acceptable to God. It was righteous. Why would God want to take him? Why would the prophet bring such a word to set your house? I thought his house was set in order. I think when we're laying on our deathbed and our final breath, our house better be in order. This house. We're not talking about the house we live in. We're talking about this house right here. This temple of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Amen. But he said to him, set your house in order. What was it that he had to set in order? If he was righteous, if he pleased God, and you can read in the 18th chapter, he did so many things and it said God was pleased with him. When you're pleased and you're favored of God, why would God say, set your house in order? Something was missing here. There was something that we didn't know about. We don't see. We don't know the man's heart. I don't know your heart. You don't know mine. But God does. And God is turning the searchlight. Amen. Amen. Deeper and deeper inside of us. There's something down there yet that God's going to bring to the surface of our life. Ah, getting the house set in order. Well, I'm sure if I tell you something now, you're going to say, I know how old you are. You're going to realize I'm not 39 no more. But when I was a young lad, and quite young, mother did what they call spring cleaning. You know, I suppose your mom, maybe she didn't do that. My mother was a very good housekeeper, but spring came along, and in those days, she couldn't afford a vacuum. So she'd take the rugs and she'd put them out on the line and the linen and beat them, you know, with one of these beaters, rug beaters. And clean the whole house completely. Spring cleaning. But it involved more than that. It involved taking all the garbage or the junk that you put up in the attic and bringing it down. Got to get rid of it. But you can't get rid of it. Here's a pile to throw away and here's a pile to keep. And you got more to keep than you have to throw away. Couldn't let it go. And so therefore, it'd go down in the basement. Down in the basement it would go. Well, next year would roll around. We got to clean out the basement. It's getting a mess. So everything out of the basement. You wonder where I'm going with this, don't you? And out of the basement it would go. Well, then thank goodness Dad built a garage. We didn't have a garage at that time. Then it goes to the garage. But you still haven't got rid of it. You got it out of the house, but you got it out of that extension of your house. Hallelujah. This is the house of God. Amen. And God's getting everything out of the soul. But He's getting everything out of the mind. He's cleaning house, saints. We don't do a good enough job at it. God's cleansing the house. Hallelujah. Amen. And He's getting to our thinking, our reasoning, our emotions. But He's also getting to our soulish part as well. That Adamic part is still there, very much there. In our lives, in what we do, what we say, where we go. Excuse me a minute, will you? Hallelujah. So therefore, God is cleansing the house. And He's taking things out of the soul, but He's not putting it up in our minds. And He's taking things out of our minds, and He's not pulling it down in the lower parts of our being. Ezekiel, that's 18. I just want to read a few verses here. Ezekiel 18. 29. Yet says the house of Israel, this is amplified. The way of the Lord is not fair and just. O house of Israel, are not my ways fair and just? Are not your ways unfair and just? I like how God turns the tables. We say, God, you're not fair. What you're doing to me, why? I don't deserve this. Yeah, do you ever say that? Do you ever think it? Well, you wouldn't tell me. Do you ever say that or think that? Well, God, why am I being persecuted so? Why am I being so beaten and flogged and purged again and cleansed again? Why, God, am I such a terrible person? But God says, you say, I'm unfair and unjust. But are you not unfair and unjust in your thinking? I think so. I think so. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways. You know, when it comes to God judging us, there's a corporate judgment he does, and then there's an individual judging. Judgment begins at the house of God, but it appears at us. Oh, come on, saints. You say, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear it either. I don't like it. But it's true anyway. You know, when things get out of hand, and things are not what they used to be, in one sense, then God wants to correct that. God's always correcting us. He's not hitting us over the head with a baseball bat, but he's correcting us. That's what correction is all about. Whom the Lord loveth, he corrects. Chastening, he corrects. Like you correct your children, I hope. Amen? All right, now let's go on. Therefore, the Lord God, this is the 30th verse, repent, turn from your transgressions, lest your iniquity be your ruin, so shall they not be a stumbling block to you. God's calling for repentance here. Huh? Repent. Make a change. 31st verse, cast away from you all your transgressions in which you have transgressed against me. Make you what? A new mind, a new heart, and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? I take no pleasure in the death of him who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn, be converted, and live. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. All old things are passed away. All things and all things have become new. So what are we talking about? We're talking about change. We're talking about reform. Hezekiah was a reformer. Reformers are not liked. They didn't like Paul. He was a reformer. They didn't like Jesus. He was a reformer. They didn't like Martin Luther. He was a reformer. And I'm sure he doesn't like us. People don't, because we are reformers. Reform means change. And change is something we don't always like. We like certain changes. We gladly receive them, accept them, if it's good. From an old Model T. Who's got an old Model T? An old car to a nice, nicer one that runs and don't clink clunk and hope you get there. Amen. You welcome that. We welcome those things. But sometimes the changes that God brings interrupts our lifestyle. It interrupts our what we do, our walk, what we do, what we say, where we go. It puts what's the word? It puts a stop on it. So change is not always welcome. But God is changing us. Amen. Change from glory, from one degree of glory to another. But there's also the change. If we're going to be like Christ, then we're going to be chaste as every man be in Christ. And we're not always walking in Christ, in the Spirit of Christ. We walk in on our own spirit. Amen. But change is happening.
Amen.
I don't have to tell you about it. All you got to do is read your paper, listen to the radio, whatever. And there's change taking place all around us, around the world. The Mideast is in upheaval. Change. They're all crying for democracy. They're not going to find democracy. But that's what they're crying for. They don't want to be governed by anyone, really. They want to be foot free and fancy free. I said fancy free and foot what?
Footloose.
I knew it came in there. Foot loose and fancy free. They didn't want to be under subjection. No authority. And because of this, they are rebels. Amen. They are rebels. That's exactly what they are. But this they want. They want it so bad, they're willing to die for it. And they are dying. Rest assured. So there's upheaval around us in the political arena. Oh yes. There's changes in our economy. Oh yes. There's changes taking place all around us. The weather. Climatic conditions are changing. And they're not so favorable anymore. There's droughts in Texas. And there's floods down south. Oh yes. And the rivers are still rising. Today you can turn on the radio and hear about, read it in the paper. The floods are getting worse and worse. And much land is being destroyed because of it. Well, that doesn't affect me, Brother Campbell. I've got my little house. I got my little garden planted out there. Well, good for you. I got news for you and for me. It's going to affect every last one of us.
Amen.
Listen, because we prophesy doesn't mean we're going to be partakers.
Amen.
What about Elijah? A drought is coming and it came, but it affected him. Yes, God provided for him. But it also affected him. We are not going to be immune to these things. Yeah. Hear me. We're in it. And we're going through it. Amen. Come hell or high water, we're going through it. We may count the loss of all things before it's over. You know, this is hard. This is hard for me. Difficult. You say, oh, Campbell, we know you're always on the go. No, I'm not. I'm a quiet man. You don't know what's going on. I'm out in the desert, in the wilderness. Day after day after day. And you think God isn't dealing with this guy? Oh, yes, He is. Every single day that comes, He deals deeper and deeper and deeper. Oh, there's the good part yet. Everybody look at me. When does the good part come? There's always a good part in the Word. There's always hope.
Amen.
Amen. But nevertheless, change is imminent. Here was a man who brought change. Yes, he did. He brought change in many areas. Let's go to the 18th chapter here of Kings. I think that's what I want. Oh, actually, Chronicles, you see in more depth with what God used him. But we're reading 2 Chronicles 29 and the 4th verse. Now Hezekiah brought together the priests and the Levites, the leaders. You know something about the Lord? Many times, not all the time, He deals with us, the leaders, first. The husband and his first a partaker.
Yeah.
Because I preach these things don't mean that I'm not being tried and tested like you, honey. More so. God's much more harder on me than He is on some of you. But that's all right because I know it's working out. Something peaceable. Something of life in me. Hallelujah. I know you want me to this morning to get up and talk about the visions and the world situation and how terrible it is out there. We need to get our eyes off out there and get it on in here.
Amen. Amen.
I know. I'm well aware of. I'm not deaf, dumb, and blind. I know what's happening out there. But I'm more concerned at what's taking place here in this earth. Come on, say, in this house.
In this house.
Hallelujah. So therefore, it says, he brought together the priests and the Levites in the square on the east. And he said to them, Levites, hear me now. Have you all got your Bibles? Somebody can underline that. Hear me now. He's saying this to the leaders. How many understand this? Levites, priests, leaders. He's saying to the leaders, sanctify. Make free from sin yourselves. And the house of the Lord, the God of your fathers, and carry out the filth from the holy place. But you get sanctified first. You get your house in order first, man of God. Amen. And I'll use you to bring. Thank you, dear brother. Thank you. I knew I had a bottle here somewhere. Oh, there you are. Well, thanks anyway. Sanctify yourselves. He came to the leaders. Look, brethren, something wrong. It's the people, it's the people, it's the people. Now it's us. It's the people, as the people would respond. If the people would be better, if they'd be kinder, nicer. We gotta set the example.
Amen.
You hear me? We gotta set the example.
Amen.
I want to be a leader. I want to be a leader. All right, you get in leadership and you won't want to. It isn't fun. It isn't happy days are here again. Come on, saints, because you're going to be dealt with much more severe than any member of the congregation. But he went to the leaders. He said, sanctify yourself. Separate. There's things you need to separate. If you're going to cleanse the house of God, you got to be clean first.
Amen.
If you're going to set other people's house in order, you better get your house set in order first. And that means our thinking. Oh, there's some idols. You read, I'm not going to read the whole thing. We will be here till 2 o'clock. 2 Chronicles 29. You read what happened. After they were sanctified, they went in to the house of God. And it was in a terrible disarray. The light had gone out. The light had gone out. And yet God says, we are the lights of the world. We are the lamp of God. We're to project life. Not life that's obscured by Campbell. By my own reasoning, what I think I should do or say or think or go or do. This is what God's getting at. We're coming to a place where we're apprehended of God.
Amen.
And we can't go, we can't do, we can't say what we've done before. That's changing now. So many words have come in the past. Now, 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 now. Now is passing. Go into the house of God. Cleanse the temple. You know something? When that temple of Solomon was dedicated, the glory of God came down and filled that temple. So great that the priests or Levites couldn't even minister. The awesomeness of God's holiness. Oh, hear me, saints. The awesomeness of God's presence. We haven't seen that yet.
Amen.
Not yet. Oh, we've seen rays and flashes of glimpses of the glory, but not what God intends to bring to His people, to His church. Go in, but before you go in, set your house in order. So Hezekiah, set your house in order. I thought it was in order. What could it be? What's in my heart? What haven't I repented of? Is it something I've had all against my brother, my sister? Have I spoke? You know, we're people that talk a lot. And sometimes we talk too much. Preachers, myself too. I'm in this. It's when we get alone. What do we talk about? Well, I talk about my kids. I talk about my grandkids. I talk about my, you know. Does our brother and sisters ever get into our conversation, I wonder? Yes! Not mine, brother! Does it get in your thoughts then? Well, oh, sure, yeah, sure, sure. Guess what? That counts. When we're speaking evil about our brother or thinking evil about our brother, come on, say, did you know that's S-I-N? Was anybody aware of this? Little petty things, not petty. I shouldn't say petty because sin is sin no matter what form it is. But sometimes we strain at an ant. An ant sometimes and swallow a camel. I pointed to myself. Amen. But I'm telling you something. God is dealing with these things now. Reformation! Change! Well, I wish that brother was a whole lot more spiritual. You get spiritual first. You show something to your brother and sister that's real and genuine and Christ-like, and they'll want what you got.
That's right.
I may get in trouble. Guess what? I'm leaving right after the meeting. You're a coward, Campbell. Yeah, I know it. When your brother stopped me at the door and said, "Wait a minute, Campbell. I want to get you before you get out." All right. As long as we have aught against our brother, or we know our brother has aught against us, and we come with our gift of praise and worship. Can I say something without anybody and everybody get offended? Our worship isn't what God expects of us. Could it be possible that little by little formalism is gaining entrance into our worship? You say, "What's this got to do with it? What's got a lot to do with it?" Hezekiah, the Reformation, wasn't just with Hezekiah or the people. It was in the worship of the temple. Get the temple clean. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I'm looking at you, brother, sister, I'm not picking on you. I can look at the ceiling if you want. I'm not picking on nobody. What kind of preacher would that be? Amen. But change is coming. In fact, it's already here. We don't have much time left to get it done. I personally believe, this is my personal belief now, I'm not going to say, "Thus saith the Lord," but I believe that when we, every one of us, are in one accord, one mind, one spirit, come on, saints, and in one word, there's going to be a manifestation of God like we've never seen before. Yes. Hallelujah. And the word will cleanse us every day. Won't need some idiot like Campbell to tell us. I know I'm going to say I can remember. You know, the Lord dealt with me about looking in the past, living in the past. I don't know about you, but he didn't. You've heard me in the past talk. Well, when the great revival came in 1950, oh, when there was a great outpouring of the Spirit. You've heard Campbell talk. I can't do that no more, but I'm going to say something. I'm going to sneak something in, undercover. I can remember. Now, I'm not saying God does the same thing all the time the same way. But there's certain things and standards in God that never, ever change. Some people talk about old order, new order, and there's no order at all sometimes. "Well, I'm not of old order. What are you?" "I'm the new order." "What's the new order? Tell me about the new order, will you? I'd like to know something about it." Change. It was not only in the man. The man, Hezekiah, had to change. Amen. Oh, there's so much to glean from this Hezekiah fellow. I'm not going to have the time to do it. And you brethren, probably you're way ahead of me. You're probably thinking, "Well, Brother Campbell, what about this? What about that?" I know where you're coming from. I know what you're thinking. But let's just, for a moment, pause. And what about this man, Hezekiah? If he was a man that was righteous, a man that walked with God, that pleased God. And yet, when it came for the final hour, he said, "Set your house in order." It's not in order. You don't say set your house in order if it's in order. But it wasn't in order. Something there was hindering. I'm not going to say something spooky. But be careful, things don't follow you when you leave this life. Won't happen, won't happen, won't happen. Just be sure. Strange. Get a little older and you realize you're not going to live to be 150. When you're 20, you're going to live forever. When you're 40, I'm going to live 100 years. When you're 60, well, I'll live 95. Maybe Alberta, maybe. You would have to put that in, wouldn't you? But that's true. But when you get there, you say, I think I'm going to live another 2 years or 5 years yet. It changes. So what has God got this foolish man up here? Talks too much and walks and funny. You say, why are you doing that? Because my knee hurts, that's why. What do you think I'm doing it? To be an idiot? No. It hurts. The back is bad. But listen, the word is true. The word is alive. I'm contending. I'm contending for the faith that once was delivered unto the saints. That's what we're talking about. The change that God is bringing. You see, the solution is in God's hands, not in my hands. But to call it to our attention. And then we're aware of it. And then God expects us to repent or do something about it. See, the word demands change, doesn't it? Always does. For me, I can't read it without getting convicted. I have to put it down. I get convicted. I start, oh Lord. I start reading and I get under conviction myself. But He's saying, I'm going to change the whole man. I want to give you what? I want to give you a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit for the whole man. God's not putting new wine in old vessels or in wineskins. This new life, He's putting in a new creation. A new creation, one that has been changed, one that loves God and loves humanity and loves his brother and his sister. Amen. Why is God always emphasizing this? Because I tell you, there are those here in this congregation that have ought against their brother, or their brother has ought against them, and you have not made it right yet. Wow. How do you know that? Read my email. No. I don't read emails. Judy does. That's her department. You're on the phone talking to everybody. Nope. You're going about busy, busy, busy. House to house, house. Nope. How do you know that? Well, strange as it may seem, the Spirit of God deals with me. Not only about me, but about the people of God. Why? Because He loves us. He doesn't want us to miss this day of visitation. Hallelujah. So Hezekiah was a reformer, a man of change, wasn't he? And yet he himself needed to change. Now, I'm going to go on just a step further before I get into the main theme or whatever. Hezekiah was a man like you and I, of like passion. He desired to serve God. He desired to please God. He wasn't rebellious. It doesn't say he was rebellious. It doesn't say that he worshiped idols. On the contrary, he destroyed the idols and the groves. Did you read that very carefully in part of that change, what he did? Where it says that not only the groves and the high places, but the brazen serpent was still there. And I said to myself, they're not worshiping that yet. And they were. They were offering incense unto that which once anointed, but is not anointed. There are things that God anoints, and that anointing lifts, just like the cloud lifts and goes on to another place. Come on, saints. The cloud is lifting and moving on, and we better move with the cloud. Amen. Or we're going to be sitting out in the cold. All right, so what is the cry of our hearts? And especially those of us that are in leadership capacity. God, that we might be one. One in mind, one in heart, one in purpose. And there won't be that problem of going out and coming in. We'll be sent by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Anointed by the Holy Spirit. And because of this, we all will share in the blessings and in the fruit as well.
Amen.
And so therefore God is dealing with each one of us in such a manner. And so Hezekiah, he did all of these things because it pleased God, because God had directed him. And he sanctified himself, or he wouldn't have pleased God. And he tore down the groves and the high places, and he broke in pieces the brazen serpent. I wonder, saints, I wonder, you can correct me if you want, I wonder if we're not drifting into more formalism and getting away from the true manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our worship, in our meetings, in our personal life. See, when we come together is only a reflection of what we do, what we are. When we come together, it says one hath, one. If you don't hath, you can't give. If you think you have, you can give. See, the body of Christ doesn't mean we're all preachers and we got to preach every 12 one of us. Uh-oh. That's a bad thing. No, it's not. Can I just for a moment look back? I can remember conventions, 2,000-3,000 people. There was nobody playing any instruments. But we stood to our feet and sang the praises of God, and we worshiped as much as a half an hour or longer. Amen. And because of this, there was such a flow of the Spirit, the prophetic word began to flow. Amen. Healing began to come. Amen. People got saved that you brought in there, in the meeting. Yeah. Come on, saints.
Hallelujah.
What was the difference? Well, you say there was a different time, a different dispensation, Brother Campbell. Let's get on. No. I believe something's lacking. Yeah. And it's got to be, we want change, but change has got to start somewhere. Let it start in us.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about... Do you mind if I sit down? I'm going to do it anyway. Oh, God. Oh, I broke something. I always do that, brethren. I have broken more things, believe me. Oh, well, that's all right. Maybe I won't have to pick it up again. There was a change. Well, thank you, dear brother. There's a change... And that change that took place then, I never will forget. We were all in one accord. Acts 2:1. They were all together in one place in one accord. That means in one spirit, one mind. Come on, saints. Nobody had aught against anyone. Nobody was over anxious about anything. They were content to be there in the presence of God to get what God said He was going to give them. What was that? Fire for cleansing and the Holy Ghost anointing to be witnesses of His kingdom. And so you know what coming together is? It's you and I have been walking with God every day. We've had a personal relationship with God. You and I. And if we have, you know something? Don't have to come to a meeting like this and hear about, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. God deals with that. When we walk uprightly before God and circumspectly, God will deal with us if there's something in our heart that's wrong. Something in our heart that's wrong with God. And something in our heart wrong with our brother or sister, or what our brother or sister is doing. That gets corrected. So that when we come together, we've been walking in God all week. We've been saved all week. And we've come together ready to harmonize and flow together. Forget about what revelation you have. Hello. Forget about your important announcement. Oh Lord, I'm going to say this, and some of you are going to get a little upset. I can remember bygone days for me now. And I preached mainly when I was a young lad in churches, some home groups, but mainly churches. And a Sunday, especially Sunday, you came together and you talk about form. First of all, they're going to announce what's going to happen all week. Tuesday night will be prayer service. Wednesday night will be the ladies' sewing club. Thursday night will be Bible study. Well, in those days we didn't have much recorders. I think we had the old-fashioned tape or whatever it was. Anyway, bring that along. Get all the knowledge you can get. Don't get God, but get the knowledge of God. And then on Sunday, oh wait, I forgot, Friday, the Royal Rangers meet. Hi-O Silver. You understand what I'm saying? By the time they got it all announced, you wondered, when does God get into all of this? What are you saying, Campbell? I think you better go home. You belong back in Wisconsin, guy. You come with crazy things. No, I don't think so. I remember the glory of the first house. I remember some things that were good. And I can remember of how I wondered, well, what's going to happen on Tuesday night if we all bring our nice Bibles and our... don't forget your pencils and your pens and your writing, because we need a lot of knowledge. You know something? I was in the convention some years ago, and I saw people with their notes are open. Oh my. Their notes are open, and they were just writing all these things that were happening. And I said, isn't this marvelous, Lord, that we don't have the mind of Christ, that we can remember these things. We have to write it all down because we need the knowledge. You know, there's a danger. And God showed me in a meeting one time, and He spoke one word to me, Epicureans. You all remember Epicureans? You ever heard of them, fellows? That's Paul met them down in Athens, didn't he? Somewhere. And they said, tell us this new thing. They were philosophizing the word. Let us be careful that the knowledge we have received, we're not philosophizing it. Amen. Huh? The word is supposed to be spirit and life to us. It is not just to be, and that's what happens if we're not careful. We get the knowledge without the spirit. That's where the trouble comes in. And we get so interested and hungry. We're like university students. They are really smart. Ever meet one that's in their third or fourth year, about ready to get a degree? They know more than you do, man. I mean, they can tell you everything that you don't know. You don't know anything about nothing by the time they're talking. Did you know this? Did you know that? Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, but you don't know this. Huh? Let us be careful, because knowledge alone puffeth up. And sometimes we get so much knowledge without the spirit of life, without working in our lives and changing us. The word is to change us. Amen. Oh, God, help us. So what happens? You get a bunch of intellectuals together. Then you got trouble. Well, wait a minute. My Strong's Concordance says this. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, my Greek says this. My Hebrew says this. It don't coincide. That you don't dot the T. Or cross the T and dot the I. Yeah, I got it right, Paul. Thank you. Paul was wondering. You got it backwards, Campbell. It's head knowledge. And knowledge doesn't bring life. The word that is quickened to us by the Spirit brings life. So we come together and we all got something to say about something somewhere, somehow, and it doesn't bring life. Well then, saints, we leaders are just as guilty. We're going to give people knowledge They're going to respond in knowledge. But if we give them life by the Spirit, it's going to bring life. Hallelujah. 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 So all of that's taking place. No, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. And we want God to overlook it, to wink at it and say, it's all right. We get in a rut. And we call it spirituality. We get in a rut. And we say, oh, that's revelation. Be careful about our revelations. You know what? Can Campbell tell on himself, is that all right? Yeah, I'd like to hear more about you. Especially how naughty you are. When God used us, now when I say God, I mean God. You understand? Not me. But when God used us some time ago, and the word was very potent and very strong and very direct, and was very, very biting and touching and cutting. Well, after that, and you know, with me, when a word of such manner comes, I have a hard time. God didn't give me time to think about it. If I'd have thought about it, I would have calmed it down, softened it a little bit. He didn't give me time. The angel was there, said, buddy, you do it now. And I got on the phone. I didn't even have time to write it all down. Because I don't remember so well. You're going to say it's your age. Well, I don't know what it is. But you know, after that, what happened? And revelation began to come. And things I can't even share with you came. But I began to share it like Joseph. Guess what? I had a dream. What? Oh, about the stars. Well, you did? Yes. And those stars were making obeisance to me. To me. Oh. And after the revelation, what happened? Into the dungeon. First the pit, then the dungeon. Are you following here? You know why? So we don't get exalted. You say, I wouldn't do. Oh, yeah? What about Paul? Huh? He had a tremendous... I'd like to sometimes give a teaching on Brother Paul. It's so different than what I've ever heard. I don't know. But nevertheless, Paul, on the road to Damascus, wasn't even a Christian. How about that? God can't do that, but he did it. We all think, I got revelation. You know why? Woo-hoo! Because I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. But Paul wasn't. But Paul had a tremendous revelation. And he heard the voice of God. Yeah, he wasn't hearing things. He saw the glory that it blinded him. Come on, saints. And then it tells about, he said, I knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't remember. But he was caught up in a third heaven and he saw things that were not audible or lawful to speak of the man. He couldn't. And guess what? Satan buffeted him. No. Satan don't buffet me. Oh, yes, he does. You want revelation, buddy? You want a deeper revelation of God? Then you're going to get buffeted. So you don't get exalted. Because after that happened, and I begin to see those things, I begin to share on the phone. Oh, you know what I saw? And all of a sudden the Lord said, what are you doing? He said, keep your big mouth shut. That's not for their ears. It's for you, Campbell. Come on, saints. So let us be careful what we start sharing, that it don't exalt you and me and puff us up. Or write a book about it. Uh-oh. Get off that subject, Campbell. I don't know. I won't. I won't say no more about it. But getting puffed up. Huh? Now, there were things that Moses saw that Israel did not see. He was in the mountain. He couldn't share it all. Are you following what I'm saying? But I'm telling you something. This is not a one-man thing anymore. I'll say it again. This is not a one-man ministry. Nor is it the five-fold ministry. It is a ministry of the Spirit of God in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. You're doing away with. No, I didn't do away with them. I'm adding. Not subtracting. Hallelujah. So we want to change. And we want change. And the change is here. But let us go on. And so, Hezekiah, God used him to bring change. And it happened. It took place. But yet there was something in his heart that needed changing. Something yet that was standing. He said, what is this all about, Campbell? I lost you somewhere. No, we're on the same track. Why isn't there a response for one another? Huh? Like maybe there used to be, and there isn't quite that way now. Sometimes we expect more out of people than we should. Sometimes we... Oh, thanks, Pete. I'd lose my head if it wasn't tied up. We expect more out of people. Well, you know something? God expects more out of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the change is... God is doing it. I'm not doing it. God is doing it. And He's starting in each one of us. You know, sometimes it's easier to talk to the children than it is to adults. You can tell a child something. You know, last year when I was here, let me give you an illustration. And I brought Sarah, Chris, and the family, well, at least that side, not Tony, of course, and the three children. And the littlest one, who is Abby, sat on the floor coloring. Now, some of you would say, get with it, or I'll get a switch and beat you to pulp. No. Come on, saints. I didn't say a word. I was up here preaching, first of all. But Judy was sitting there, and she says, after I was done, what did Grandpa say? He talked about Elijah. He talked about Elijah going in the tomb, or in the cave. He talked about Elijah running. He talked about a little three-year-old. And people that are sitting up and looking at me don't even get it. Don't even hear what the Spirit is saying. Go out of the same meeting and say, I heard that before and before. Listen, saints, you may, but it's about time we react and respond to what God is saying in this hour. Amen. Hallelujah. God is bringing change. I'm not, but I'm being changed. I was much more active years ago. You think I don't desire to go out? Yeah, but God says, no, you stay put. When I need you, I'll send you down there or over there. If I don't, you just stay here and pray for everybody. And that's what I've been doing. You say, maybe that's where you should stay. Well, I agree with you. Maybe so. But the change that I saw, I'm not going to get into that. I haven't got the time or whatever. And I think you have kept you already pretty long. But I saw some changes taking place in around our world, and there's more changes, but one I want to share with you that was, it was such an encouragement to myself. I was sitting in my bedroom, which I do quite a lot, and look out the window, and we live in the outskirts of a little town, and there's forests over there. We got some deer out there and rabbits and whatever, and there's forest right there, all trees, wooded area. And I'm looking out and I have a vision. And I see a runner, Olympic runner. And you know, when they have these Olympics, they have this one runner with a torch. And he goes to this cauldron, finally, where they're holding the Olympics, and he lights that. But I saw this. He was running, pacing himself. Not running like a 100-yard dash, but pacing himself, running. Amen. And as he was running, the torch he had in his hand got brighter and brighter and brighter. And as he was running and he went by my view, and I saw at the end, as he came to the end of that running, the destination, I didn't see the torch anymore, but the whole person was light. He became light. They became light. Is that scripture? Oh, yeah. But the path of the just is as a shining light that becomes brighter and brighter unto this perfect day. And we're coming to the perfect day. Amen. And God is changing us. Amen. And the change is not always welcome. But change is we're willing and obedient. We're going to eat of the good of this land. Come on, saints. We're not going to eat the wilderness manna anymore. Amen. But the fruit of Canaan's land that brings life and speaks of life. You know that manna, God says, you are rebellious. Israel, you are rebellious. I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you manna till it comes out of your nose. That's exactly what he was doing. You say, no, he wasn't. Yes, he was. You want it so bad, this is what you want, I'll give it to you until it comes out of your ears and your nose. And sometimes, saints, we get manna that is stale. Manna that is stinketh by now. And we eat it and there's no life in it. Amen. And we eat it, continue eating until it comes out of our nose, till we get sick and tired and say, we want something. We want meat. Well, they got quails then, didn't they? And that they got all the time. And they got water. But you know when they crossed over? They didn't eat the manna anymore. Ha! Glory to God. They didn't eat the manna anymore. Now they were going to eat the fruit of the land. Hallelujah. And every step they took, they ate more and more and more of the land. Not just the grapes of Eshkadol. Come on, saints. But they drank of the new wine of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And God has reserved something better for us. Amen. That we can have this fullness. If we're willing and we're obedient, we shall eat of the good of the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, saints. Let's quit and forget about our agendas. And seek the Lord as one people, one purpose. Hallelujah. That, Father, this is your doing. This is your will. Therefore, we respond to your will. Oh, come on, saints. I know there's been a lack. There shouldn't be. But I know there's been a lack. And the lack is really the heart. You know, what have we been taught? Come on, say, we have not been taught to give grudgingly. Amen. Come on, say, we've been taught to give out of the abundance of our heart. Are you hearing me? What are you going to do, take an offering? I'm not going to take an offering. But we've been taught that. Brother DeSeele had laid a good foundation in so many avenues of our life. So important. It's been a good foundation. Hear me. It's helped me tremendously in my life as well. But listen, huh? God wants us now to use that which He's given us. And begin to share. As we share the blessings with one another, let us share the burden. Saints, we don't have to pull. We don't have to beg. We don't have to say who's going to do what and how. That's the way they did in the church world. Come on, we don't have to send out letters! Who will give? Who will give? Who will give? Let me hear, let me hear, let me hear. Who will give? Come on, saints. God wants to bring us to a place where we give from a willing heart. We know what we have need of and what they have need of and you have need of without even asking or speaking a word. Oh, there's an abundance. God has an abundance for each one of us. Come on. Hallelujah. If He's got our heart, He's got our pocketbook. Come on, saints. And we don't need to ask. I keep saying I don't have the time. I could tell you of a brother who was a mentor in my life. I had several. And he was a mentor in my life. He was Canadian born. He was saved in the Salvation Army. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. Lived way up in Hudson Bay, Canada, where in the winter, when you went from the barn to the house, you had to cover your mouth or you breathe in that air to frost your lungs. And God called him, guess where, saints? To Sierra Leone. Long, long time ago. He called him to go there, way up in Canada. And he said, all right, Lord, I'll go. Where do you want me to go first? He said, go to Toronto, Canada. This is a true story. I knew the man. He was a prophet. A real, truly, honest, a good and prophet. And he went from there to Toronto. He said, now, Lord, where do I go? He said, you go to this large building. I forget the name. And when you get there, he said, I'll tell you what to do. He went to the building. He asked the police, is there a building? Yes, you go down this way. I don't think he ever was in Toronto before. And he got to this building and he said, look at the directory. Now you go to the Mr. Fox. You go there. You go up and talk to him. And this is what I want to tell him. You tell him you are a missionary going to Sierra Leone, to Africa. I see. All right. Listen now. All by faith. Nobody wrote, nobody told nobody, but went by faith, by the Spirit. Aren't you glad I won't be here the rest of the day? He went upstairs. Fancy offices. Got to the reception, said, I want to see Mr. Fox. Do you have an appointment? No. Well, I'm sorry. He's a very busy man. He doesn't see everybody. If you don't have... He said, just tell him my name is here. I'm a missionary to Africa. Okay. He went in, told him. And they had the kind of office where you got glass, you know, where you can see these offices are glass. He stood up from his desk and he looked out and he saw this brother. He said, have him come in. I came in there. He said, what's your name? He told him the name, this brother. He said, where are you from? He told him where he's from. Well, why are you going there to this particular place in Africa? That's where God told me to go. But don't you have no church backing you? No. Do you have a fellowship backing you? No. But he told me to come here. After he said that, this man, Mr. Fox, got down on his knees and with his brother, he prayed with him. And what do you think happened? When he got up, he said, I want you, are you going to be here in Toronto for a while? Well, I was playing. He said, I have a place for you to stay. I want you to meet the businessmen that I'm with. Okay. They met the next day, had lunch in a separate room, some nice, fancy place. Got in there and he said, this is, he's our brother, a brother so-and-so. He's here. He's going to Africa. He told him the whole story. And find out that these men were businessmen that support missionaries. And they had been praying. Are you hearing me? They were praying. And they were saying, one came up and said, I don't know, but I feel we need to expand our vision. We don't have anybody in this particular area of Africa. And he said, this man here is called to go there. They prayed. All of them men prayed with this brother. And they said, we will sponsor you to go to Africa. Amen. Now remember, he had no contacts in Africa. He just went to where God showed him to go. Got on the boat. Got off the boat. And you, Brendan, some of your brethren have been in that area. He got off the boat. He got there and the people were greeting people. He just stood there, kept standing there. Pretty soon, an African man come. He look him over, up and down. He say, you be God man? Oh, yes, yes. He said, I'm Christian. You be Holy Ghost God man? He said, oh, yes, I have Holy Ghost. Come with me. Well, you know, you never been to Africa. This is not 1980 or 2004. This is 1920s. A lot of it was different then. You come with me. What are you going to take me? You stay here overnight. And it was like a bed and breakfast. Next day, this is what this African man told him. He said, there was man here with us for many years. Very godly men. He teach us the way of Christ. We have received Christ. We have received Holy Ghost. And as he was dying, we were so sad. He said, oh, there's a man coming. Do you hear me, brethren? There's a man coming. This is what he'll look like. Huh? You look at me, you're telling a story. No, I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. This is a man that I grew up under. One of the men was a mentor in my life. I could tell you about his ministry. Saints, I haven't seen any prophet's ministry moving in the way that this man moved since that. And that includes, now I won't say the name. That would be nasty. William Branham. Shouldn't have said it. It was a great ministry. He went into the bush. He stayed there. He ate there for 4 years. Do you want me to stop, or can I tell you a little more about this man? 4 years he was there in the bush. Lived with them. Ate with them. And they used a lot of cayenne pepper. And it was eating the inside of his intestine. He was eating so much of it. But anyway, they come one day to the hut that he was living in. Say, "Oh, Pa, we go, man dying, very serious ill, in another village. It is good ways from here." Said, "But Pa, we can't go. This is monsoon time. It's very bad." He said, "All this comes down and you get very sick." "No, no, we go." And they went. They came to the river. They had a dugout canoe to go across. And on the other side of the river was a sheet of rain. And I said, "Pa, we wait. Another day." "No, no, no." He stood up in that little boat. I'm surprised he didn't fall over. He put up his hands. He said, "In the name of Jesus, stand still." And that water stood still. How do you know this? It was verified, saints. This is not a fantasy. Huh? "Stand still." And the water stood still. They crossed over. He released the water. They went to the village. The man died. Dead. I don't mean funny dead. I mean dead. And they go in to the hut and they pray for him. The man was instantly healed and resurrected. What do you think it did to everybody in that village?
Amen.
Did you have to tell them 120 ways to get the Holy Ghost? No. Did you have to tell them 50 ways to get saved? No. What convicted them? The reality of the power and presence of God. Saints, this is what the world is looking for. The evidence. Not the word, but the evidence. The evidence. But you know what the reaction was? When they got back to their village again, several of the brethren came to his hut, said, "Pa, we're going to the hills. We're going to seek God. We see what God works in your life. We want that. You can't give us that, but we're going to get it." And they were gone, I think, for 2 weeks to the hills, and they came back and said, "Oh, Pa, what we saw. We saw the glory of God. We saw the presence of Jesus." Are you hearing me loud and clear? We're not by the Spirit, provided by the Spirit, and miracle things and fantastic things happen. Come on, saints, preach all you want to preach. There has to be the evidence of the Holy Ghost in every one of our lives. The world is looking for the reality of the power and presence of God in our lives. We've preached them to death. The thing that's going to convince this revelation that our God is a real God and a living God is because we're going to talk to Him and teach Him. No! There's going to be the manifestation of the reality of God's glory and presence in our lives. And that will convince this generation. Are you hearing?
Amen.
Hallelujah! Change! Amen! Changing of our hearts. David says, "Create in me a clean heart, Lord, and renew a right spirit. Then I'll teach. Then I'll teach others. Do a work in me." Going out by the Holy Ghost. You say, "How can you talk so smart, Campbell? You walk around like a cripple. You limp around." Give me credit for limping. Come on, saints. I'm not sitting in my corner and groaning and moaning. I'm not finished yet. You know what? Yeah, you know what God's doing with us? You know what He's preparing us for? You say, "Oh, great ministry. What are you going to rebuke the rain? You're going to send the rain down, Campbell? Is that what you're going to do?" No. Many years ago when I was in Colorado, God showed me a vision. And He saw me out in the streets talking and witnessing and praying and helping people. Our ministry began in the streets. Yes, it did. Our fellowship had street meetings every Saturday night. When we got off the streets, the demonstrators took over. You hear me? Amen. I began ministering in rescue missions. That's how we began. You know what the Lord says? I'm going to send you back to humanity, Campbell. Hallelujah. I'm going to send you others. What are you saying that for? Because it's coming. It is coming. What do you think is going to happen to these people? The famine is coming because of the destruction of so much of our natural produce and that. Floods, fires, the beef in Texas is going to continue and get worse. We're going to have not only the natural food, but the spiritual food to feed these people. Amen. And they're not only going to be without job, they're going to be homeless. And what does Isaiah 58 read it? You read in the Amplified, it says, and take the homeless into your house. Oh, buddy, I'm glad to send clothes to the poor and food to those that are sick. No, you're going to have to invite them in your house. Say, come on in and we'll feed you. And we'll clothe you. And we'll tell you about Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. And you know what? The crowd situation and the demonstration in the streets, in the cities, is going to become violent. It's already violent in the Mideast. Come on, saints. In Wisconsin, I told this to Pete, I might have told it to Bert. In Wisconsin, it's a very conservative state. It really is. And when the new governor said that we have to tighten the belt and increase taxes and we got to cut your health benefits, that's the teachers, the government, actually the government workers, and they got in an uproar. Can you imagine 50,000 people gathering in Madison, Wisconsin at the Capitol complaining and demonstrating? You say there was no violence. No, there wasn't. But what do you think was just passed here a couple of weeks ago? The right to carry a concealed weapon. You arm these angry people that are without jobs and are homeless. They're going to take what they want. Amen. And they'll go to the wealthy. They'll go in their homes and drag them out. And people that aren't wealthy, whatever you got that they want, they're going to take. There won't be any law. They'll be a law unto themselves. Never happened. Yes, it's going to happen. Oh, Jesus is coming. Yeah, He's coming. But He's coming in us. And the change. We're going to have to be able to point the way and say, look, we can help you. I'm going to quit. A good friend of mine, and Mark knows him, Brother Stanley. Precious brother. We've known him, I don't know, 40 years probably. And he's been three times, his wife and himself, been three times to Vietnam. How did they get in? Well, they got in really through Cambodia. They were at a conference or something in meetings, and a brother from Vietnam was there and heard him and his wife and invited them to come. Saying to him, that is a communist country. Don't kid yourself. You don't go in there, take pictures, take your guitar, and six dozen other people. You go in there because the Spirit of God leads you there. And they had meetings out in the country. And he tells me of the home, how it was described. They had a room that was built and it was false. If you were to come in, you'd never know there was a room there. And they met in this room. And they had it so set up that the cab driver, they had men that were stationed miles away from where they had the meeting. They had the walkie-talks, of course. And they could say, well, there's coming a police patrol. There's coming the government, you know, the soldiers or that. And they'd immediately switch. They were going to the meeting one night. And the cabbie, a Christian born-again man, and the preacher, the elder that was sitting next to him, they're talking in Vietnamese. He don't know what they say, but they're driving along, and a man on a Honda putt-putt. I don't know what they call them. What do they call them things? Scooter thing, yeah. And he said, pull over. They pulled over, and he said, no, can't meet there. Meet somewhere else. And guess what? They met somewhere else, and all the people that were there were over there. People are getting saved
Amen.
And filled with the Holy Ghost. And they're coming into the knowledge of the kingdom of God. Come on, saints. To me, that's missionary work. Come on, saints. You lay your life on the line. You don't go in there tooting your horn and say, here we come, we're going to take over Vietnam and you're going to end up in jail. You go in there because the Spirit of God sends you. Well, sad to say, this brother lost his wife just recently. He was supposed to return to Vietnam. And he found out that one of the leading elders there had to flee Vietnam. You say, well, why, Brother Campbell? Because they somehow got wind of what was going on. You see, the law in Vietnam is this. If you come in and their laws are posted right in the airport, you don't do this, you don't bring that, you don't do this, you don't go there, you don't go to here. Understand? And you go where they tell you you can't go, you have broke the law. You don't have a trial. You end up in jail. And so this brother and his sister went there 3 times. But the elder, his father, who is in America now, was a leading official in the South Vietnam at one time. But he had friends in the North. And one of the men who was in the know calls his father in America and he said, get your son out of there now. They've got a list. They're taking the Christians that call themselves Christians into custody. And he said, Dad, I can't go. They need me now. He said, what good are you in jail? He said, you wait. His son left. He's in Chicago, Illinois right now. And there's a Vietnamese group there already. And this brother went there. But listen, he lost his wife. And we need to pray for the brother. He's probably 78 years old, 79, somewhere in there. And when his wife died, it was such a loss to this brother. Because wherever he went, his wife went with him. Here in the States or overseas. And what happened was when she died, he actually lay down beside her. It was so hard for him to let her go. And I thought to myself, how we love our wives, our husbands, and how they suffer and go through the same thing we do if we suffer. And I felt so sorry. His son called me just last week. He said, Brother Campbell, he wants to go back. He said he's not in any condition. He's had a heart attack. He's had a complete loss of his right arm, among other things. And he still wants to go back. And I'm praying, I'm saying, Lord, Lord, let your will be done. But if it's in the man's heart and desire, quicken him one more time. Hallelujah. I'm sorry if I've taken so much time of yours. I've shared what I felt God has spoke to our hearts. And if you want to sum it all up, it's one thing. And that is change. And the change is affecting all of us. Hallelujah. Oh, there's hope in our end. Oh, yes, there is. I'm not just saying that we don't have any hope. We have hope. And I'm hoping in God. Why? Because God has called us according to His purpose. We're in His divine purpose and will. The problem is getting our act together. And beginning to flow together and work together as one body, one people. And saints, I tell you, there'll be such a release of life in you, in I, and all of us, that there'll be such a quickening in the body. We will not be in need. All the needs will be supplied. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. You have not forsaken us. You have not failed us. We may have failed you at times, but God, you have never failed us. And as we come to this time, Lord, it's an opportune time. And yet it's a terrible day of the Lord. It's terrible for those that don't know you. But it's a time of opportunity for us, Lord. If we're willing to grasp the opportunity and take advantage of it. Lord, you will use each one of us in this latter day, Lord, that there be a great ingathering into your kingdom. So we pray, God, for a release. A release in every one of our minds and our soul and our spirit. That, God, we're no longer going to let these little things, God, these little foxes spoil, Lord, what you have for us. God, but cause us to lay aside these weights and the sin of unbelief or whatever that sin might be and begin to run this race with patience. We pray, God, for this people. And we pray that your blessings will enrich us. And you'll add no sorrow unto it. But God, in your dealings with our hearts this day, this very day, Lord, that we will respond. And we will make that which is wrong right. That we might be a righteous people. Having a right spirit. A right connection with you and with one another. And let us quit blaming, putting the blame on someone else. But God, we're the problem. Not our brother, our sister, we are the problem. And when we get in that flow of divine life and obedience, God, you will bless us as a people. And we have exceedingly great promises, Lord. God, you've spoken to us by the mouth of many witnesses. This fellowship, this congregation, we've heard truth, Lord. We've heard revelation. And God, it has moved us. But may it move us again, Lord. Amen. Move us one more time, Lord. Amen, Lord, that we'll no longer be stagnant. We'll no longer be in the middle, lukewarm. But God, we pray that we will be those that are set afire. Set afire by your Spirit, Lord. That God, the wheat fields that are out there, the fields that are ready to be harvested, we as the fire will go, Lord. Amen. And ignite the fire and the fields. That God, there will be a great ingathering into your barns. Oh God, help us.
Hallelujah.
We need your help. We need your strength, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we just bless the Lord for a moment?
Amen.
Can we just thank the Lord? I'm through. Let's stand and give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. About things this morning, as he's dealing with me and myself, then let us obey. Amen. We're here to pray with you and for you. The brethren are here to pray with you and for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just take time. Amen. Right now. Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We look at you, Father. We ask you, God, to breathe upon us one more time. Breathe upon us, Lord. Consume all the dross and the kin, the impurities in our lives. Oh, God, everything that is false and not real and genuine, burn it this day. Consume it. Coming forth.
Father
Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Amen,
Lord. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, I come. Just as I am, I come, Lord, to you. Without any plea, but that your blood was shed for me. Let us get it settled, saints, now this morning. You've got the whole convention ahead of you this afternoon, this evening, and tomorrow. You've got brethren that are going to share things with you, amen, that are pertinent for this day and this hour. But let's prepare ourselves, saints. Let's prepare ourselves. It says, prepare to meet thy God. Let's prepare to meet him and with him today. Let's no longer hold back and say, well, I know what Brother Campbell's saying is true. I know there's something in my heart, something in my soul, my spirit, my mind. But let's ask God now to cleanse us. If it means coming and standing at the altar, then do it. Do it, for goodness sakes. Do it. Hallelujah. 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 Let us not put off tomorrow what we need to do today. Hallelujah. Oh God. Hallelujah. Somebody sing a chorus. Hallelujah. As you feel led. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
But this could be our last conference. Could be one of the last times we get together. Let's avail ourselves. Don't let it slip by. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, as He's dealing with me right now, let us come together and join our hearts together. Amen. Whatever it is that God is speaking to our hearts, let us obey God. Saints, the storm clouds are gathering around us. And all I can see is terrible, terrible things ahead in the natural. There's coming a famine. And yet you've got ground around you here that could be worked. There's land right around this church that could be worked. Oh yes. I think we need to prepare. Right now, we need to prepare. And don't put off another day, another time, another season. This is the time and this is the season. There is a time to gather and there is a time to release that which we've gathered. A time to be born, a time to die. A time of war, a time of peace. And this is our time. Amen. Don't say another day, another meeting, another convention. God, let's take advantage of that which avails us now. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh Lord. Hallelujah. Those of you feel led to come down, please, I'm not pulling you, but I tell you, the time is very short. I didn't share with you other things that have come to us by the Spirit. And not only me, but other the brethren as well. Time is of the essence. Don't put off. Let's get it right now. Don't wait like Hezekiah until you're on your deathbed, if that should happen, and say, well, now I need to get this right. Let's do it tonight. Let's do it today. Amen. Right now. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. Oh, God, we stand before You, Lord, and we ask You, God, to move upon our hearts and lives. Help us, God. Give us the grace to make a new covenant. Let us not just make something with our mouth, but God, let it come from our hearts, from our spirit. Oh God, as for me in this house, We're going to serve you, Lord. Let us make that covenant and that choice today, Lord. Willing to change and be changed. Oh, Father, we need you. We need you now, Lord. We pray you'll unctionize every one of us, Lord, right now. Break every chain and fetter. God, the thing that's been holding us back. We want to come. We want to give ourselves. We want to commit ourselves and submit ourselves. God, give us the grace right now to do as such. Amen. Let this be a new beginning for us today, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. I agree, Lord, with my brother.
You know, there it is a kind of a pivotal moment, and I implore you. You know, some people prefer private to public, and I think in some sense that's okay. The word that Brother Campbell quoted, he said, if you know your brother has aught against you, go to him. It says, if you have aught against your brother, go to him. It implies that the knower has a responsibility. And so if there's any aught amongst or between us in any way, shape, or form, I'm not the arbiter of your offense. I'm sure I've offended a number of people. My personality in the old days used to be abrasive. But we're moving through that. So I just really want to encourage you. Don't be afraid. Do business with God and with your brother today. Do not let the sun go down. And don't fake it. If you know it's there, you know it's there. Huh? And don't try to cover it over, because you won't cover it over. Right. It's like a wound. It's like a sore. And so I just encourage every one of you. If you know, go.